You're listening to the Trim Radio Network. We cut the bull and serve the truth.
You're listening to The Brighter Life Show with your host, natural health practitioner, Dr. Leslie Berkland, and the Brighter Life Institute founder and vibration expert, Nicholas Brighter. Topics span from holistic lifestyles, meditation, natural medicine, spirituality, and finding your joy. Here at The Brighter Life Show, we want to hear from you. Call us at Trim Radio Network and ask questions or share your most uplifting story. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Life Show. I am your host, Dr. Leslie Berkland. My co-host, Nicholas Brighter, is on assignment, but he will be joining us later for our series on habits. We're going to be doing a 7-episode series on positive habits, how to develop positive habits, things to think about, when starting a new habit, how long it may take to begin a habit, which is completely individual. But for today, we're going to talk about habits that can actually change your life. And this is actually from an article that was in Forbes magazine. It was their lifestyle section. And the author is Noma Nadzis. And she is actually the contributor. And so I'm going to be taking notes from her article, which I just think is just a beautiful and excellent article. So I want to give her credit. We're going to start out by actually quoting Jack Canfield. And he says, I think it's just a beautiful quote to start out thinking about habits. Your attention determines your altitude. So think about that. Your attitude determines your altitude. Okay, so what you think about determines how high a level vibration where you're going to be. He also says that successful people don't just drift off to the top. Sometimes we see successful people and we think, oh, they're just so lucky. Oh, they just have it all, or they were just given some special gifts, or their families were so well off that they just had opportunities that other people don't. But basically, successful people, they just don't drift off to the top, no matter what their personal situation. Getting there requires focused attention, personal discipline, and lots of energy every day to make things happen. And that is a quote from Jack Canfield. And I'm going to have to agree with him. I think that he couldn't be more accurate. Meanwhile, we're going to talk about just some steps that you can take to just make the habits, create habits, and really have develop some habits that can change your life. One is to create a morning ritual. A lot of us just get up in the morning after our alarm goes off. We race and take a shower and, you know, get ready. And then we're running off to work because everything is so time sensitive these days. And we want to get up at the last minute so that we have plenty of sleep. What's really better to establish a meaningful morning ritual. And that would be like even while you're in the shower to do some meditation, to really think throughout your day or to think of things that are positive that will help your day progress in a positive, proactive manner. Having something that's a little more structured in your morning as opposed to rushing. So it may even be taking the time to make yourself, you know, a breakfast that is healthy. And you can begin anywhere, just by making your morning not so rushed and something that's more thoughtful, and it's going to help your day. It's just a good habit to start. Now, some people say that the most successful people will always make their bed. I've read this many times. If that's something that you believe, then before you go off to work or begin your day or go for your run, you know, make your bed. You know, it's just a positive habit to start so that you've actually completed something. You've actually done something. It may be, you know, cleaning up your kitchen before you leave. That happens to be what I do. Like, I have a hard time leaving my house without having one aspect of my home in order. And in my case, it happens to be the kitchen. So something else that will help you, another daily habit that can create a positive change in your life is to read more. We're in this world of everything we seem to learn, we're just watching it on the TV. And it comes at you so quickly that it's just scrambling all around your head. And then we have to come up with, you know, what's real, what's not real, what little piece are we going to remember? But actually having a book in front of you and reading, it's really a great way to gain knowledge and to also stimulate your own creativity. And it's calming. More people, you just don't realize that calming is an effect of reading, especially if you're reading like nonfiction books, because not only can it be calming, you can also learn something. It's an excellent tool to broaden your horizons or develop new ideas, or you can seek some motivation, even reading motivational books or books that are just inspiring. So that is something else that I highly recommend to develop as a new habit. And when I say reading, it doesn't mean that you have to read an hour. You know, we're not back in school where we have to do a research paper, or we're not in high school where we have to write a review on something that we read. You can read for 10 minutes. That's perfectly fine. You could just decide to read a chapter a day. It's also important to note that you may want to read at night. You turn everything off this digital, your computer, just anything that's social media, and just read for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever you're comfortable, whatever is within your comfort level for reading. Read a little bit before you go to bed, and that will be something that is just will be helpful for you to sleep. Studies have shown that reading before you go to bed will help you sleep better. Okay, next, moving on. Learn to single task. We are in this world where people are so proud, like, oh, I can multitask. I can do 10 things at once. And sometimes we have to. We don't have any choice. But to learn to single task, or what I say is double task, where you just limit the 10 things. Because if you are trying to do 5 or 10 things at one time, the odds are you're not giving 100% to each one of those things, so you may only give 20%. Where if you single task or double task, you're more likely going to give 90 to 100% of those tasks. So sometimes people, they just gauge it on how many tasks they completed. But if they completed many tasks but not well, that's not necessarily a good thing. It's better to do fewer tasks and do them well. In fact, studies have shown that people that multitask, that only 2% of the people in the world that multitask multiple ideas, thoughts, things that they're doing, that only about 2% are successful, meaning that they actually gain something from it or learn something or actually accomplish what they set out to do in their multitasking. And it's kind of interesting just how our brain works and how we sort of filter things out when we're doing these tasks. And so sometimes when we multitask, the efficiency rate is just so low that it actually could impair your cognitive control. And that is a study that was done at Stanford University. They made that conclusion after some research. And so they also recommend that it's better to write down a list of the tasks that you need to complete and do them singularly, one at a time. It doesn't mean that you can't accomplish multiple tasks in a day. Multitasking is when you're doing many tasks at the same time, which that is difficult. So just think about single tasking. You know, I say that, you know, people can double task pretty effectively. Next, we're going to talk about appreciation. And if you can just take some time, you know, make it a habit to just appreciate things in life. And, you know, it helps people with their creativity, and it helps. It also reduces stress, and it can improve your physical health. So it's kind of funny to think, like, well, I'm going to think about these beautiful roses that I'm walking by on my daily walk, because that's one of the habits I've decided to participate with some friends. But if you stop and just think about the beautiful plants around you and rejoice in just nature and how beautiful it is, it actually reduces stress and it does improve your physical health. Okay, so that's something that you may want to cultivate, because if we're just going for a walk or even walking to our mailbox, you know, just notice all the things around you. Notice the plants that your neighbors happen to like. Notice things that just the nature, just how beautiful nature is. Rather, the sky is blue and the sun is out, or even the beauty of clouds, the beauty of the rain, the beauty of everything around you. And, you know, the more you appreciate the little joys in life, ultimately, the happier you will be. Now, the next is something that I think is just super, super important, and something that you may want to consider, and that's to surround yourself with positive people. So we all have just a variety of friends. We have our kooky friends, our artistic friends, our intellectual friends, you know, our troubled neighbor. And we surround ourselves with friends and neighbors and co-workers. But try to surround yourself with positive people, because you are the average of the five people you spend most of the time with. And that is a quote from Jim Rohn, who is an American author and entrepreneur. And so this is actually precisely why you should really carefully consider who you're spending your time with. And it's okay to let go of the relationships that bring you down instead of lifting you up. And spend time with people who know how to nurture and know how to share happiness. And keep this in mind, happiness is contagious. So it's almost better for you to be a happy person, be a positive person, think of things that are positive, and then surround yourself with people that are positive. Because if you're the average of the five people you spend most of the time with, that's just something to think about, something that I've actually had to think about. You know, I was sort of attracted to people that were just sort of kooky people that I just thought were just funny, and some negative people that were always coming to me with their problems. And if I'm really the average of the five people that I spend most of my time with, it wasn't really looking good so for me. So it's best to spend most of your time with people that are really just simply uplifting. Another habit that is good for your health is exercise. And when we think of exercise, sometimes we think to ourselves, that means that we have to go to the gym. That means that we have to work out an hour 3 days a week, or 4 days a week, or 5 days a week, or every single day of the week, where we have to spend so much time and sort of change our bodies and how it looks. But I'm really talking about just simply exercise, where you're just walking, just more movement. For example, you could be doing something in your kitchen and just decide, well, you know what, before I start dinner, I'm going to do 10 squats. That's a form of exercise. You know, instead of taking the elevator at work, I'm going to do the stairs at least 3 times as opposed to taking the elevator. So any kind of little bit of exercise, it builds up your endurance. It gets you more energized, and it elevates your mood. So because it helps boost the production of endorphins, and sort of a natural hormone that is an antidepressant. So, you know, going to the gym, hitting the gym is great, but you don't have to do that. There's other forms of what we considered exercise, even doing some speed walking or regular walking just around your neighborhood. Sometimes if you're just going to go to the store, instead of getting in your car and driving the 3 blocks, walk to the store. I mean, there's little things that you can do that are exercise that we just don't think about. We think everything is you have to go to the gym. I am not saying that going to the gym is not fantastic. If you have a gym membership and you want to start going to the gym more often, then by all means doing that. I'm just saying in addition or even in lieu of before you start going to the gym, you can get exercise in so many different ways. Another thing, which I think is really, really important, is to master the art of listening. That is also something that I had to learn, especially in my practice, because my practice is all about listening to people instead of interjecting my thoughts. And so, you know, part of effective communication, you know, it's really crucial that we cultivate, personal relationships and professional relationships, but listening is central to communication. It goes two ways. Somebody may say their ideas and you may counter it, you may agree with it, but we don't always have to be talking. Just paying attention to what other people are saying. It makes them feel valuable, makes them feel happy. You actually learn something. Sometimes we're not learning because we're not listening. So you don't want to monopolize the conversation or give fake attention, like, you know, sort of pretend to be listening to somebody because your mind is really thinking about what you want to say next. Just actually listen to people and take in everything that they're saying. And you don't even have to express your opinion. You can just simply listen and see who they are. You know, what is it that's going on in their life, and appreciate it. And so it's really nice to become a good listener and really master the art of listening. Listening effectively. It's going to make you a better person. So another thing is to detox yourself from social media. This is going to be very, very hard because we live in this crazy digital world. I mean, it's really taken over so many aspects of our lives. You know, the average person has about 5 social media accounts, and they spend almost 2 hours a day, every day, either checking their social media or doing some research or looking somebody up that they've met on social media. They go to other social media sites, and some of these sites actually can develop some depression because the news cycles are based on things that are negative because it's a more attention-grabbing. So if you're constantly listening to the news, if you're constantly listening to all these research sites, and I mean, quite frankly, it's like research every day shows that there's something new. Drinking coffee is horrible and will kill you, or drinking coffee will make you a better person. Nobody knows what to believe. So a lot of the research shows I find actually kind of interesting. But detoxing yourself means just turning it off. You know, everything except for your phone. It's recommended that you turn your phone off, but our phones are sometimes our lifeline in case there's some emergency with your family. So I'm not saying turn your phone off, but don't be looking at your phone on social media. Just curtail it. Just bring it down. You know, devote maybe half an hour a day or, you know, throughout the day. Just don't spend 2 hours. And that it's really good for you to connect with people in other ways. So by switching off your laptop or switching off social media, spending a few hours every day, it will actually help you connect with the world around you, and it should improve your mood. Something else is to invest in self-care, and that's taking time off to unwind, and that can really do wonders for your mood, your mental health, and your self-esteem. You know, you could do something by creating a new hobby, something that you've always wanted to do, or you can just listen to some music, learn a new skill, you know, take a long bath, like a bubble bath or a salt bath, you know, make it a super nice meal, you know, whatever makes you happy, but invest in some self-care. For me personally, I learned how to play chess only 4 years ago. I couldn't even tell you how to even move any of the pieces on a chessboard. And so now what I do is I will play chess with some friends online, and then I also play chess with just a chess board. So I'm playing against the machine, And there's different levels of chess. So I may spend 15 minutes a day playing chess. It's actually good for my mind. It's good for my mind cognitively. It's also good for your memory. And that's just what I've chosen. It's just my way to invest in myself and to invest in my mind. So these are just some habits, just some daily habits that can actually change your life, something to think about. Now, throughout our series, this was actually the very first of our series, we have about seven other subjects that all to do with habits. But a lot of them are just different steps for developing habits, habits that are just meaningful in your life. You know, how to build a habit and in so many steps, which is different for everyone. How to maintain healthy habits. And that's something that is also really important. You may have heard that it takes 6 weeks to develop a habit and 6 weeks to undo a habit, like a bad habit. But it's really per person. And I believe that it's more, it takes 6 weeks to establish the pattern of a habit. So it just simply means that it gets easier to maintain that habit. But those are some things that we are going to be talking about in the next episodes of The Brighter Life in our habit series. Thank you for joining me. If you need to get in touch with me, you can always email me anytime. And my email address is drleslie@leslieberkland.com. That's Dr. Leslie, DrLeslie, at LeslieBirkland.com. And I will always answer your email to me within 48 hours. So thank you for listening to the show. And till next time, have a wonderful day. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Life Show. I am your host, Dr. Leslie Berkland. My co-host, Nicholas Brighter, is on assignment, but he will be joining us later for our series on habits. We're going to be doing a 7-episode series on positive habits, how to develop positive habits, things to think about when starting a new habit, how long it may take to begin a habit, which is completely individual. But for today, we're going to talk about habits that can actually change your life. And this is actually from an article that was in Forbes magazine. It was their lifestyle section. And the author is Noma Nadziz, and she is actually the contributor. And so I'm going to be taking notes from her article, which I just think is just a beautiful and excellent article. So I want to give her credit. We're going to start out by actually quoting Jack Canfield, and he says, I think it's just a beautiful quote to start out thinking about habits. Your attention determines your altitude. So think about that. Your attitude determines your altitude. Okay, so what you think about determines how high a level vibration where you're going to be. He also says that successful people don't just drift off to the top. Sometimes we see successful people and we think, oh, they're just so lucky. Oh, they just have it all, or they were just given some special gifts, or their families were so well off that they just had opportunities that other people don't. But basically, successful people, they just don't drift off to the top, no matter what their personal situation. Getting there requires focused attention, personal discipline, and lots of energy every day to make things happen. And that is a quote from Jack Canfield. And I'm going to have to agree with him. I think that he couldn't be more accurate. Meanwhile, we're going to talk about just some steps that you can take to just make the habits, create habits, and really have develop some habits that can change your life. One is to create a morning ritual. A lot of us just get up in the morning after our alarm goes off. We race and take a shower and, you know, get ready. And then we're running off to work because everything is so time sensitive these days. And we want to get up at the last minute so that we have plenty of sleep. Well, it's really better to establish a meaningful morning ritual. And that would be like even while you're in the shower to do some meditation, to really think throughout your day or to think of things that are positive that will help your day progress in a positive, proactive manner. Having something that's a little more structured in your morning as opposed to rushing. So it may even be taking the time to make yourself, you know, a breakfast that is healthy. And you can begin anywhere, just by making your morning not so rushed and something that's more thoughtful, and it's going to help your day. It's just a good habit to start. Now, some people say that the most successful people will always make their bed. I've read this many times. If that's something that you believe, then before you go off to work or begin your day or go for your run, you know, make your bed. You know, it's just a positive habit to start so that you've actually completed something. You've actually done something. It may be, you know, cleaning up your kitchen before you leave. That happens to be what I do. Like, I can't have a hard time leaving my house without having one aspect of my home in order. And in my case, it happens to be the kitchen. So something else that will help you, you know, another daily habit that can create a positive change in your life is to read more. We're in this world of everything we seem to learn, we're just watching it on the TV. And it comes at you so quickly that it's just scrambling all around your head. And then we have to come up with, you know, what's real, what's not real, what little piece are we going to remember. But actually having a book in front of you and reading, it's really a great way to gain knowledge and to also stimulate your own creativity. And it's calming. More people, you just don't realize that calming is an effect of reading, especially if you're reading, you know, like nonfiction books, because not only can it be calming, you can also learn something. It's an excellent tool to broaden your horizons or develop new ideas, or can seek some motivation, even reading motivational books or books that are just inspiring. So that is something else that I highly recommend to develop as a new habit. And when I say reading, it doesn't mean that you have to read an hour. You know, we're not back in school where we have to do a research paper, or we're not in high school where we have to write a review on something that we read. You can read for 10 minutes. That's perfectly fine. You could just decide to read a chapter a day. It's also important to note that you may want to read at night. You turn everything off, this digital, your computer, just anything that's social media, and just read for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever you're comfortable, whatever is within your comfort level for reading. Read a little bit before you go to bed, and that will be something that is just will be helpful for you to sleep. Studies have shown that reading before you go to bed will help you sleep better. Okay, next, moving on. Learn to single task. We are in this world where people are so proud, like, oh, I can multitask. I can do 10 things at once. And sometimes we have to. We don't have any choice. But to learn to single task, or what I say is double task, where you just limit the 10 things. Because if you are trying to do 5 or 10 things at one time, the odds are you're not giving 100% to each one of those things, so you may only give 20%. Where if you single task or double task, you're more likely going to give 90 to 100% of those tasks. So sometimes people, they just gauge it on how many tasks they completed. But if they completed many tasks but not well, that's not necessarily a good thing. It's better to do fewer tasks and do them well. In fact, studies have shown that people that multitask, that only 2% of the people in the world that multitask, multiple ideas, thoughts, things that they're doing, that only about 2% are successful, meaning that they actually gain something from it or learn something or actually accomplish what they set out to do in their multitasking. And it's kind of interesting just how our brain works and how we sort of filter things out when we're doing these tasks. And so sometimes when we multitask, the efficiency rate is just so low that it actually could impair your cognitive control. And that is a study that was done at Stanford University. They made that conclusion after some research. And so they also recommend that it's better to write down a list of the tasks that you need to complete and do them singularly one at a time. It doesn't mean that you can't accomplish multiple tasks in a day. Multitasking is when you're doing many tasks at the same time, which that is difficult. So just think about single tasking. You know, I say that, you know, people can double task pretty effectively. Next, we're going to talk about appreciation. And if you can just take some time, you know, make it a habit to just appreciate things in life. And, you know, it helps people with their creativity, and it helps, it also reduces stress, and it can improve your physical health. So it's kind of funny to think, like, well, I'm going to think about these beautiful roses that I'm walking by on my daily walk, because that's one of the habits I've decided to participate with some friends. But if you stop and just think about the beautiful plants around you and rejoice in just nature and how beautiful it is, it actually reduces stress and it does improve your physical health. Okay, so that's something that you may want to cultivate, because if we're just going for a walk or even walking to our mailbox, you know, just notice all the things around you. Notice the plants that your neighbors happen to like. Notice things that just the nature, just how beautiful nature is. Rather, the sky is blue and the sun is out, or even the beauty of clouds, the beauty of the rain, the beauty of everything around you. And, you know, the more you appreciate the little joys in life, ultimately, the happier you will be. Now, the next is something that I think is just super, super important, and something that you may want to consider, and that's to surround yourself with positive people. So we all have just a variety of friends. We have our kooky friends, or our artistic friends, our intellectual friends, you know, our troubled neighbor. And we surround ourselves with friends and neighbors and co-workers. But try to surround yourself with positive people, because you are the average of the five people you spend most of the time with. And that is a quote from Jim Rohn, who is an American author and entrepreneur. And so this is actually precisely why you should really carefully consider who you're spending your time with. And it's okay to let go of the relationships that bring you down instead of lifting you up. And spend time with people who know how to nurture and know how to share happiness. And keep this in mind, happiness is contagious. So it's almost better for you to be a happy person, be a positive person, think of things that are positive, and then surround yourself with people that are positive. Because if you're the average of the five people you spend most of the time with, that's just something to think about. Something that I've actually had to think about. You know, I was sort of attracted to people that were just sort of kooky, people that I just thought were just funny. and some negative people that were always coming to me with their problems. And if I'm really the average of the five people that I spend most of my time with, it wasn't really looking good. So for me, so it's best to spend most of your time with people that are really just simply uplifting. Another habit that is good for your health is exercise. And when we think of exercise, sometimes we think to ourselves, that means that we have to go to the gym. That means that we have to work out an hour 3 days a week, or 4 days a week, or 5 days a week, or every single day of the week, where we have to spend so much time and sort of change our bodies and how it looks. But I'm really talking about just simply exercise, where you're just walking, just more movement. For example, you could be doing something in your kitchen and just decide, well, you know what, before I start dinner, I'm going to do 10 squats. That's a form of exercise. You know, instead of taking the elevator at work, I'm going to do the stairs at least 3 times as opposed to taking the elevator. So any kind of little bit of exercise, it builds up your endurance. It gets you more energized, and it elevates your mood. So because it helps boost the production of endorphins, and sort of a natural hormone that is an antidepressant. So, you know, going to the gym, hitting the gym is great, but you don't have to do that. There's other forms of what we considered exercise, even doing some speed walking or regular walking just around your neighborhood. Sometimes if you're just going to go to the store, instead of getting in your car and driving the 3 blocks, walk to the store. I mean, there's little things that you can do that are exercise that we just don't think about. We think everything is you have to go to the gym. I am not saying that going to the gym is not fantastic. If you have a gym membership and you want to start going to the gym more often, then by all means doing that. I'm just saying in addition or even in lieu of before you start going to the gym, you can get exercise in so many different ways. Another thing, which I think is really, really important, is to master the art of listening. That is also something that I had to learn, especially in my practice, because my practice is all about listening to people instead of interjecting my thoughts. And so, you know, part of effective communication, you know, it's really crucial that we cultivate, personal relationships and professional relationships, but listening is central to communication. It goes two ways. Somebody may say their ideas and you may counter it, you may agree with it, but we don't always have to be talking. Just paying attention to what other people are saying. It makes them feel valuable, makes them feel happy. You actually learn something. Sometimes we're not learning because we're not listening. So you don't want to monopolize the conversation or give fake attention, like, you know, sort of pretend to be listening to somebody because your mind is really thinking about what you want to say next. Just actually listen to people and take in everything that they're saying. And you don't even have to express your opinion. You can just simply listen and see who they are. You know, what is it that's going on in their life, and appreciate it. And so it's really nice to become a good listener and really master the art of listening. Listening effectively. It's going to make you a better person. So another thing is to detox yourself from social media. This is going to be very, very hard because we live in this crazy digital world. I mean, it's really taken over so many aspects of our lives. You know, the average person has about 5 social media accounts, and they spend almost 2 hours a day, every day, either checking their social media or doing some research or looking somebody up that they've met on social media. They go to other social media sites, and some of these sites actually can develop some depression because the news cycles are based on things that are negative because it's a more attention grabbing. So if you're constantly listening to the news, if you're constantly listening to all these research sites, and I mean, quite frankly, it's like research every day shows that there's something new. Drinking coffee is horrible and will kill you, or drinking coffee will make you a better person. Nobody knows what to believe. So a lot of the research shows, I find kind of interesting. But detoxing yourself means just turning it off. You know, everything except for your phone. It's recommended that you turn your phone off, but our phones are sometimes our lifeline in case there's some emergency with your family. So I'm not saying turn your phone off, but don't be looking at your phone on social media. Just curtail it. Just bring it down. You know, devote maybe half an hour a day or, you know, throughout the day. Just don't spend 2 hours. And that it's really good for you to connect with people in other ways. So by switching off your laptop or switching off social media, spending a few hours every day, it will actually help you connect with the world around you, and it should improve your mood. Something else is to invest in self-care, and that's taking time off to unwind, and that can really do wonders for your mood, your mental health, and your self-esteem. You know, you could do something by creating a new hobby, something that you've always wanted to do, or you can just listen to some music, learn a new skill, you know, take a long bath, like a bubble bath or a salt bath, you know, make it a super nice meal, you know, whatever makes you happy, but invest in some self-care. For me personally, I learned how to play chess only 4 years ago. I couldn't even tell you how to even move any of the pieces on a chessboard. And so now what I do is I will play chess with some friends online, and then I also play chess just a chessboard. So I'm playing against the machine, And there's different levels of chess. So I may spend 15 minutes a day playing chess. It's actually good for my mind. It's good for my mind cognitively. It's also good for your memory. And that's just what I've chosen. It's just my way to invest in myself and to invest in my mind. So these are just some habits, just some daily habits that can actually change your life, something to think about. Now, throughout our series, this was actually the very first of our series, we have about 7 other subjects that all to do with habits. But a lot of them are just different steps for developing habits, habits that are just meaningful in your life. You know, how to build a habit and in so many steps, which is different for everyone. How to maintain healthy habits. And that's something that is also really important. You may have heard that it takes 6 weeks to develop a habit and 6 weeks to undo a habit, like a bad habit. But it's really per person. And I believe that it takes 6 weeks to establish the pattern of a habit. So it just simply means that it gets easier to maintain that habit. But those are some things that we are going to be talking about in the next episodes of The Brighter Life in our habit series. Thank you for joining me. If you need to get in touch with me, you can always email me anytime. And my email address is drleslie@leslieberkland.com. That's Dr. Leslie, DrLeslie, at LeslieBirkland.com. And I will always answer your email to me within 48 hours. So thank you for listening to the show. And till next time, have a wonderful day. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Life Show. I am your host, Dr. Leslie Berkland. My co-host, Nicholas Brighter, is on assignment, but he will be joining us later for our series on habits. We're going to be doing a 7-episode series on positive habits, how to develop positive habits, things to think about when starting a new habit, how long it may take to begin a habit, which is completely individual. But for today, we're going to talk about habits that can actually change your life. And this is actually from an article that was in Forbes magazine. It was their lifestyle section. And the author is Noma Nadziz, and she is actually the contributor. And so I'm going to be taking notes from her article, which I just think is just a beautiful and excellent article. So I want to give her credit. We're going to start out by actually quoting Jack Canfield. And he says, I think it's just a beautiful quote to start out thinking about habits. Your attention determines your altitude. So think about that. Your attitude determines your altitude. Okay, so what you think about determines how high a level vibration where you're going to be. He also says that successful people don't just drift off to the top. Sometimes we see successful people and we think, oh, they're just so lucky. Oh, they just have it all, or they were just given some special gifts, or their families were so well off that they just had opportunities that other people don't. But basically, successful people, they just don't drift off to the top, no matter what their personal situation. Getting there requires focused attention, personal discipline, and lots of energy every day to make things happen. And that is a quote from Jack Canfield. And I'm going to have to agree with him. I think that he couldn't be more accurate. Meanwhile, we're going to talk about just some steps that you can take to just make the habits, create habits, and really have develop some habits that can change your life. One is to create a morning ritual. A lot of us just get up in the morning after our alarm goes off. We race and take a shower and, you know, get ready. And then we're running off to work because everything is so time sensitive these days. And we want to get up at the last minute so that we have plenty of sleep. Well, it's really better to establish a meaningful morning ritual. And that would be like even while you're in the shower to do some meditation, to really think throughout your day, or to think of things that are positive that will help your day progress in a positive, proactive manner. Having something that's a little more structured in your morning as opposed to rushing. So it may even be taking the time to make yourself, you know, a breakfast that is healthy. And you can begin anywhere, just by making your morning not so rushed and something that's more thoughtful, and it's going to help your day. It's just a good habit to start. Now, some people say that the most successful people will always make their bed. I've read this many times. If that's something that you believe, then before you go off to work or begin your day or go for your run, you know, make your bed. You know, it's just a positive habit to start so that you've actually completed something. You've actually done something. It may be, you know, cleaning up your kitchen before you leave. That happens to be what I do. Like, I have a hard time leaving my house without having one aspect of my home in order. And in my case, it happens to be the kitchen. So something else that will help you, you know, another daily habit that can create a positive change your life is to read more. We're in this world of everything we seem to learn, we're just watching it on the TV. And it comes at you so quickly that it's just scrambling all around your head. And then we have to come up with, you know, what's real, what's not real, what little piece are we going to remember. But actually having a book in front of you and reading, it's really a great way to gain knowledge and to also stimulate your own creativity. And it's calming. More people, you just don't realize that calming is an effect of reading, especially if you're reading, you know, like nonfiction books, because not only can it be calming, You can also learn something. It's an excellent tool to broaden your horizons or develop new ideas, or you can seek some motivation, even reading motivational books or books that are just inspiring. So that is something else that I highly recommend to develop as a new habit. And when I say reading, it doesn't mean that you have to read an hour. You know, we're not back in school where we have to do a research paper, or we're not in high school where we have to write a review on something that we read. You can read for 10 minutes. That's perfectly fine. You could just decide to read a chapter a day. It's also important to note that you may want to read at night. You turn everything off this digital, your computer, just anything that's social media, and just read for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever you're comfortable, whatever is within your comfort level for reading. Read a little bit before you go to bed, and that will be something that is just will be helpful for you to sleep. Studies have shown that reading before you go to bed will help you sleep better. Okay, next, moving on. Learn to single task. We are in this world where people are so proud, like, oh, I can multitask. I can do 10 things at once. And sometimes we have to. We don't have any choice. But to learn to single task, or what I say is double task, where you just limit the 10 things. Because if you are trying to do 5 or 10 things at one time, the odds are you're not giving 100% to each one of those things, so you may only give 20%. Where if you single task or double task, you're more likely going to give 90 to 100% of those tasks. So sometimes people, they just gauge it on how many tasks they completed. But if they completed many tasks but not well, that's not necessarily a good thing. It's better to do fewer tasks and do them well. In fact, studies have shown that people that multitask, that only 2% of the people in the world that multitask multiple ideas, thoughts, things that they're doing, that only about 2% are successful, meaning that they actually gain something from it or learn something or actually accomplish what they set out to do in their multitasking. And it's kind of interesting just how our brain works and how we sort of filter things out when we're doing these tasks. And so sometimes when we multitask, the efficiency rate is just so low that it actually could impair your cognitive control. And that is a study that was done at Stanford University. They made that conclusion after some research. And so they also recommend that it's better to write down a list of the tasks that you need to complete and do them singularly, one at a time. It doesn't mean that you can't accomplish multiple tasks in a day. Multitasking is when you're doing many tasks at the same time, which that is difficult. So just think about single tasking. You know, I say that, you know, people can double task pretty effectively. Next, we're going to talk about appreciation. And if you can just take some time, you know, make it a habit to just appreciate things in life. And, you know, it helps people with their creativity, and it also reduces stress, and it can improve your physical health. So it's kind of funny to think, like, well, I'm going to think about these beautiful roses that I'm walking by on my daily walk, because that's one of the habits I've decided to participate with some friends. But if you stop and just think about the beautiful plants around you and rejoice in just nature and how beautiful it is, it actually reduces stress and it does improve your physical health. Okay, so that's something that you may want to cultivate, because if we're just going for a walk or even walking to our mailbox, you know, just notice all the things around you. Notice the plants that your neighbors happen to like. Notice things that are just the nature, just how beautiful nature is. Rather, the sky is blue and the sun is out, or even the beauty of clouds, the beauty of the rain, the beauty of everything around you. And, you know, the more you appreciate the little joys in life, ultimately the happier you will be. Now, the next is something that I think is just super, super important, and something that you may want to consider, and that's to surround yourself with positive people. So we all have just a variety of friends. We have our kooky friends, our artistic friends, our intellectual friends, you know, our troubled neighbor. I mean, we surround ourselves with friends and neighbors and co-workers. But try to surround yourself with positive people, because you are the average of the five people you spend most of the time with. And that is a quote from Jim Rohn, who is an American author and entrepreneur. And so this is actually precisely why you should really carefully consider who you're spending your time with. And it's okay to let go of the relationships that bring you down instead of lifting you up. And spend time with people who know how to nurture and know how to share happiness. And keep this in mind, happiness is contagious. So it's almost better for you to be a happy person, be a positive person, think of things that are positive, and then surround yourself with people that are positive. Because if you're the average of the five people you spend most of the time with, that's just something to think about, something that I've actually had to think about. You know, I was sort of attracted to people that were just sort of kooky people that I just thought were just funny, and some negative people that were always coming to me with their problems. And if I'm really the average of the five people that I spend most of my time with, it wasn't really looking good so for me. So it's best to spend most of your time with people that are really just simply uplifting. Another habit that is good for your health is exercise. And when we think of exercise, sometimes we think to ourselves, that means that we have to go to the gym. That means that we have to work out an hour 3 days a week, or 4 days a week, or 5 days a week, or every single day of the week, where we have to spend so much time and sort of change our bodies and how it looks. But I'm really talking about just simply exercise, where you're just walking, just more movement. For example, you could be doing something in your kitchen and just decide, well, you know what, before I start dinner, I'm going to do 10 squats. That's a form of exercise. You know, instead of taking the elevator at work, I'm going to do the stairs at least three times as opposed to taking the elevator. So any kind of little bit of exercise, it builds up your endurance. It gets you more energized. And it elevates your mood, so because it helps boost the production of endorphins, and sort of a natural hormone that is an antidepressant. So, you know, going to the gym, hitting the gym is great, but you don't have to do that. There's other forms of what we considered exercise, even doing some speed walking or regular walking just around your neighborhood. Sometimes if you're just going to go to the store, instead of getting in your car and driving the three blocks, walk to the store. I mean, there's little things that you can do that are exercise that we just don't think about. We think everything is you have to go to the gym. I am not saying that going to the gym is not fantastic. If you have a gym membership and you want to start going to the gym more often, then by all means doing that. I'm just saying in addition, or even in lieu of, before you start going to the gym, you can get exercise in so many different ways. Another thing, which I think is really, really important, is to master the art of listening. That is also something that I had to learn, especially in my practice, because my practice is all about listening to people instead of interjecting my thoughts. And so, you know, part of effective communication, you know, it's really crucial that we cultivate, personal relationships and professional relationships But listening is central to communication. It goes two ways. Somebody may say their ideas and you may counter it, you may agree with it, but we don't always have to be talking. Just paying attention to what other people are saying, it makes them feel valuable, makes them feel happy. You actually learn something. Sometimes we're not learning because we're not listening. So you don't want to monopolize the conversation or give fake attention, like, you know, sort of pretend to be listening to somebody because your mind is really thinking about what you want to say next. Just actually listen to people and take in everything that they're saying. And you don't even have to express your opinion. You can just simply listen and see who they are. You know, what is it that's going on in their life, and appreciate it. And so it's really nice to become a good listener and really master the art of listening. Listening effectively. It's going to make you a better person. So another thing is to detox yourself from social media. This is going to be very, very hard because we live in this crazy digital world. I mean, it's really taken over so many aspects of our lives. You know, the average person has about 5 social media accounts, and they spend almost 2 hours a day, every day, either checking their social media or doing some research or looking somebody up that they've met on social media. They go to other social media sites, and some of these sites actually can develop some depression because the news cycles are based on things that are negative because it's a more attention grabbing. So if you're constantly listening to the news, if you're constantly listening to all these research sites, and I mean, quite frankly, it's like research every day shows that there's something new. Drinking coffee is horrible and will kill you, or drinking coffee will make you a better person. Nobody knows what to believe. So a lot of the research shows I find actually kind of interesting. But detoxing yourself means just turning it off. You know, everything except for your phone. It's recommended that you turn your phone off, but our phones are sometimes our lifeline in case there's some emergency with your family. So I'm not saying turn your phone off, but don't be looking at your phone on social media. Just curtail it. Just bring it down. You know, devote maybe half an hour a day or, you know, throughout the day. Just don't spend 2 hours. And that it's really good for you to connect with people in other ways. So by switching off your laptop or switching off social media, spending a few hours every day, it will actually help you connect with the world around you, and it should improve your mood. Something else is to invest in self-care, and that's taking time off to unwind, and that can really do wonders for your mood, your mental health, and your self-esteem. You know, you could do something by creating a new hobby, something that you've always wanted to do, or you can just listen to some music, learn a new skill, you know, take a long bath, like a bubble bath or a salt bath, you know, make it a super nice meal, you know, whatever makes you happy, but invest in some self-care. For me personally, I learned how to play chess only 4 years ago. I couldn't even tell you how to even move any of the pieces on a chessboard. And so now what I do is I will play chess with some friends online, and then I also play chess just a chessboard. So I'm playing against the machine, And there's different levels of chess. So I may spend 15 minutes a day playing chess. It's actually good for my mind. It's good for my mind cognitively. It's also good for your memory. And that's just what I've chosen. It's just my way to invest in myself and to invest in my mind. So these are just some habits, just some daily habits that can actually change your life, something to think about. Now, throughout our series, this was actually the very first of our series, we have about seven other subjects that all to do with habits. But a lot of them are just different steps for developing habits, habits that are just meaningful in your life, you know, how to build a habit and in so many steps, which is different for everyone, how to maintain healthy habits. And that's something that is also really important. You may have heard that it takes 6 weeks to develop a habit and 6 weeks to undo a habit, like a bad habit. But it's really per person. And I believe that it's more, it takes 6 weeks to establish the pattern of a habit. So it just simply means that it gets easier to maintain that habit. But those are some things that we are going to be talking about in the next episodes of The Brighter Life in our habit series. Thank you for joining me. If you need to get in touch with me, you can always email me anytime. And my email address is drleslie@leslieberkland.com. That's Dr. Leslie, DrLeslie, at LeslieBirkland.com. And I will always answer your email to me within 48 hours. So thank you for listening to the show. And till next time, have a wonderful day.